next speaker is Amanda Babin. Amanda was born and raised in sunny Southern California. She's an identical twin and is one of five siblings. She's lived in Juneau for 3.5 years and doesn't see herself leaving anytime soon. A random fact about Amanda is that she is more likely to forget her cell phone at home than her water bottle. She takes it everywhere, and it calms her when she's nervous. Maybe I need a water bottle? Speaking in front of all of you makes her very nervous, so please welcome to the stage Amanda and her water bottle.
Hello. This story is from my childhood. It took place when I was age 9. My identical twin was also age 9. My younger brother was 7. My older brother was 11. My eldest sister was off at college. And then my parents were however old parents are, because I don't know. And so growing up, we had a family dog. And at age 9, our family dog passed away. We learned about dog years and how our dog was really old, and it was okay. And shortly after our family dog passed, cats started showing up. I think they were already in the neighborhood before, but we didn't notice them because we had a dog in our backyard, so they didn't go there. And we started asking Mom and Dad, oh, whose cats are those? And they said, those are no one's cats. Those are stray cats. And we're like, well, who feeds them? And she's like, we don't know. We're like, well, we should feed them. And we convinced Mom and Dad to leave a bowl of food and a bowl of water outside for the stray cats. We quickly became known as the cat house in the neighborhood because I like to say they picked us. We also conveniently had a small field behind ourselves that is still vacant to this day, aka the litter box. The one rule was that we did have some stray cats that were wild and did not let us near them, and then some of them became friendly, and they were allowed in the house. But the rule was, at the end of the night, they go out of the house, and that's their time. So as we, you know, adopted these stray cats, we learned about how it's important to spay and neuter cats, and so that they don't become overpopulated. And I remember when our first cat had kittens. And she was pretty friendly, so we got to play with the kittens, and we thought it was the best. And we learned that it's a better time to give away stray cats is when they're kittens. People like kittens better than wild cats. So we had to give away 3 of the kittens, and we got to keep one. But the next time, another mother gave birth to more kittens, and this one was not so friendly. And so our goal was we still needed to spay the mom and give the kittens good homes, so we had to catch them. And we went with a brilliant method any cartoon would approve. We went and got a piece of wood, a cardboard box, a stick, and a string. And we were determined to catch these cats so we could take them and get spayed and neutered. And we put 4 kids in a bush, and we thought we were going to be very successful. Turns out 4 kids in a bush is not quiet. So slowly we grew bored, except for my youngest brother. He's very determined, still to this day a very persistent person. So he was going to catch a cat that night. So it was just him in the bush, which was much better probably. But we kind of moved on, and lo and behold, 30 minutes later, we heard hooting and hollering, and he had caught the mama cat. He was so excited. So my dad goes and he picks up the piece of wood in the box and brings it to our spare bathroom where the cat was going to stay for the night. Put some food, put some water, good to go. As he's kind of tipping the box and running for the door so that the cat doesn't get out, we found out he did not catch the mama cat. He also did not catch the baby kittens. Turns out he had caught other animals that eat our food. It was a very large, pissed off possum. Equally pissed off was my mother. Turns out possums can break a lot of things. And they hiss, and it was not happy to be in our bathroom. And we were not exactly happy either, but we had to figure out how to get the possum out of the bathroom. Our first plan of attack was to open the window and take off the screen and put a little piece of hamburger patty from dinner at the window. More things broke. I remember glass was not my mom's favorite. when I heard that sound, I knew we were a little bit in trouble. So we went to Plan B, and Plan B was to build a the bathroom was located on about a 10-foot hall right by the front door. So the bathroom was to the left. The end of the hall was my sister's room, a small closet, and about a 6-foot entryway, so the span of my arms, and that entered the living room. So our game plan was to blockade this 6 feet. So shut the door. His only exit was outside. So as the four kids, we basically got to build a fort. And we used tables and chairs and couch cushions. I think we had a piece of luggage, so we were stoked. We were fort building. We got this. Meanwhile, my dad was suiting up because he was the one in charge of motivating the possum towards the door. We actually had a roller hockey stick from when my older sister played roller hockey, but that doesn't have much padding. If we had hockey gear, we probably would have been a little better. But he just put on as much clothes as he could, and then that included puffy snow clothes. I don't know, about 20 years ago in Juneau, maybe you had better clothes, but everything in Southern California was like, poof, you were puffy. So he put on as much as he could, gloves, he had the hockey stick, a trash can lid, and that was, we were good to go. We did try opening the door in hopes that maybe the possum would just find its way out, but it seemed pretty content in our warm bathroom with food and water. So I remember my dad just going in the bathroom, and he's eking, and the possum's hissing, and it's only 3 feet to the door from the bathroom, and he's like hockey gearing, and we're watching from behind the luggage, and we get the possum out of the bathroom, and we're cheering, we're like, yay! And that was the time we had the possum in the bathroom. We learned a lot from this story. We still learned we had to get the kittens and give them good homes. We had to spay and neuter. We had to spay mom. But we also learned that sometimes it pays to have the right equipment. So from then on, we still, in our years, spayed and neuter many wild cats. My dad still has, maybe he has Angel's cat. I don't know. It's California. But we still have all of them, but we rent the professional traps now from the vet, and we retired the box and stick method.